track 13. Next, we bring you the Past Lives feature, looking at two remarkable men. First, Death in the Swamp. In 1848, Norfolk-born botanist William Caron set off to explore Australia's northern Queensland. It turned into a horror expedition, as John Wright reveals.
Caron lay on the ground holding his pistol, knowing that the Aborigines would be back at any minute to finish him off. Loyal Norfolk botanist William Caron had no idea the expedition he'd joined to explore the northern tip of Queensland would disintegrate as it had done into a horror march. It was a fiasco from the start. The integrity of their leader, Edmund Kennedy, was never questioned, but the country they planned to cross was hopelessly impassable, and only 3 of the 13 men would return alive. Kennedy's boss was Thomas Mitchell, Australia's Surveyor General, who was obsessed that Australia had an inland sea and river to India. Desperate to make a name for himself, Mitchell even believed rumours from a runaway convict called George the Barber, who said he'd seen it, and many hippopotamuses and orangutans. Michael Cannon wrote in The Exploration of Australia, Kennedy had just returned from an expedition proving him wrong that made Mitchell a laughingstock. Was it revenge now to send Kennedy to a living hell that was quite different from the favourable views seen by travellers on passing ships? William Caron was born in Pulham St Mary in Norfolk in 1821, the son of gardener Charles Caron and Mary, nay Noble. At 23, he married Eliza Ellis in Westhall in Suffolk and sailed for Australia. Encouraged by the new director of the Sydney Botanic Gardens to accompany Kennedy's expedition, William sailed to Queensland, landing at Rockingham Bay between Townsville and Cairns on May the 21st, 1848. They took 28 horses, 100 sheep, 4 dogs, 3 heavy carts, 4 tents, gunpowder and shot, ropes, chains, firearms, specimen boxes, a ton of flour, 90 pounds of tea and 600 pounds of sugar. Like Kennedy, he didn't know what lay ahead. Mangrove swamps, rivers with banks 6 metres high, the carts had to be lured in and out on ropes, mountains, and then mangroves again. Caron would write a diary of the trip, his calm scientific entries gradually changing as a growing sense of hopelessness crept in. One man they relied upon was an Aboriginal tracker called Jackie Jackie. But despite the dangers in the swamp, they went on. Even a climbing palm, Caron was describing, grabbed him. No sooner did I cut one tendril than 2 or 3 others clung around me. His June the 13th entry, Carpenter absconded. The man returned that night, and William noted, he's little better than an idiot, and we saw a large alligator rising to the surface of the water close to our camp. June 17th, the wheels of the cart sank to the axle trees. June 18th, Mr. Kennedy read prayers. They would need them. It rained for 4 days. William observed that Kennedy remained in high spirits as the men and animals tired. Soon they would abandon the carts. Another danger lurked. They were shadowed by Aborigines the whole way. Sometimes they watched the hopeless procession, sometimes they'd bring food, but often they'd approach with spears and get shot at. July 28th, one of the horses fell 30 feet from the hill onto a rock ledge. They ate it. The men got split up. One was stealing the stores, and everyone awoke in the morning with leeches on them. August 8th, I found myself covered with blood. August 18th, the horse Mr. Wall had been riding had grown so weak it fell and rolled down into a gully. More horses died, and the men got sicker, maggots being found on the horse meat. On November the 10th, they realised that they couldn't make Cape York and back before the food ran out, so Kennedy made a dash with Jackie Jackie and 3 other men to meet the waiting schooner Ariel, telling Caron he'd be back in 2 to 6 weeks. His diary entries get shorter, and he doesn't describe plants anymore. November 16th. Douglas died this morning. After a 500-mile journey lasting 6 months, they were still only 3/4 of the way, and the other men were starting to die too. On the 1st of December, Caron saw a ship in Shelburne Bay and assumed it had come to rescue them. So instead of fighting his way through the mangroves towards it, he started packing. A day later, he watched in dismay as it left. On December the 13th, they ate their last dog and drank the water in which we boiled him. One of the men with Kennedy accidentally shot himself in the shoulder, so Kennedy continued with Jackie, leaving the other two to look after him. A month later, the pair got within 20 miles of the supply ship, only to find themselves trapped by the ironically named Escape River and its crocodile-infested mangrove swamps. One evening, they were attacked by Aborigines. Jackie later said, "They threw plenty of spears and hit Mr. Kennedy in the back first." "He tried to keep them at bay with gunfire while he cut the barb out of his employer's back," Cannon wrote. "Then even more spears hit Kennedy in the leg and right side. Jackie, himself wounded over one eye, caught Kennedy as he fell back and died. He tried to carry him away and later said, 'I was crying a good while until I got well.'" Jackie escaped by wading along a creek with only his head above water. 2 weeks later, he reached the supply ship and told them what had happened. The ship immediately sailed down the coast to rescue the two groups of men left behind. But the three men were never found. The other group of eight fever-riven men had tried to survive in 40-degree temperatures by boiling down their horses into soup, but had died one after the other. The survivors, too weak to dig graves, weighted the bodies with stones and rolled them into the water. December 26th, the natives brought us a blue-tongued lizard, which I opened and took out 11 young ones, which we roasted and ate. December 28th, Niblett and Wall both died this morning. December 29th, our shot was almost consumed. Goddard went into bush to get another pigeon. As William lay there alone, he saw natives coming and fired. He thought they were about to finish him off, when, extraordinarily, they handed him a dirtied, torn piece of paper. On it was a message to him from Captain Dobson from the Ariel, who moments later appeared through the scrub with Jackie. They had come 3 miles through mangroves and scrub, surrounded by armed natives, who now stood all around them. Dobson looked at Caron on the ground, whose arm and hip bones had worked their way through his flesh, and they got him safely back to the ship. William Caron had been the party's moral strength to the end, and now referred to the faithful and true-hearted Jackie. The noble Caron slowly recovered. His narrative was published, and he stayed working at the Botanic Gardens until his death at 55. And Jackie became an instant celebrity and hero in Australia for trying to save Edmund Kennedy. So many people bought him congratulatory drinks that he became an alcoholic, Cannon wrote, and 6 years later was burned to death when he drunkenly rolled into a fire.